This is a really, really big week that we remember, and this kicks off what we know as Passion Week, and we're going to be unfolding this whole deal and communicating with you out of Matthew 21. So if you have your Bibles or something to write with, you're going to want to take notes today. We're going to rediscover some things that are really, really important. Hey, I don't know if you know this or not. We are one church in four locations, and all of our locations have a lot of great things happening this week, and we're going to be uncovering all that today and worshiping together later on this week. Some really, really huge, huge things happening. Hey, many, many, many years ago, way back about the mid to late 1900s, there was this thing that happened, and for those of you that remember this, it was called the Immaculate Reception. And Franco Harris caught the ball, ran for a touchdown, won the first playoff game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I was 8 years old at the time. Now, the Steelers were perennial losers up to that point. And but you know what? I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I grew up with this is your team. But something happened with that victory. It wasn't just like my dad's team or my family's team or the city's team. It became my team because they became winners. And when they became winners, something changed. Like at 8 years old, it wasn't on TV, but I remember seeing it after that. And I don't know if you've been to the airport or not, but there is a shrine to Franco Harris at the airport. There's like an idol, like a shrine to him. And I'll be honest, like if you don't know the story, you kind of just walk right by it. You don't even know it's there because it's not important to you. It's like, oh, you know, we're in Pittsburgh. They really like a football player and George Washington. That's all we know. That's like there's two people around here. But you walk by it and you don't realize the importance of it. You know, but I remember I got to have lunch with Franco Harris twice when I was in high school. And it was a really, really big deal. I know most of you are saying, what's a Franco Harris, okay? You can Google it later, okay? And but it became personal to me. It became real to me because the Steelers became, they became winners at that point. And I wanted to associate with that. But Palm Sunday happened a lot way before the Immaculate Reception, just for the record. But something bigger happened, something more grand happened. But to be honest, in Christendom, we tend to just kind of walk by Palm Sunday and we don't even recognize it. We even tend to, unfortunately, walk by Good Friday because we just want to get to Resurrection Sunday. Because that's the day we get to wear our Easter bonnet. And typically, Palm Sunday only marks that you need to make sure you get a ham, get some eggs, and get your bonnet. But it's so much bigger than that. And Palm Sunday like marks something like so significant. And so what would it mean to rediscover what Palm Sunday really is? What does that look like to really do that? So Palm Sunday, it's in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So God our Father in heaven must really want us to get this. Four times, okay? It's like telling your kids to clean their room four times. You really want them to get it. So four times they're saying, you got to get this, you got to get this. This marks what we know. It begins as Passion Week. And passion is important. And this is so much more than I have a passion for tennis, or I have a passion for seafood, or I have a passion for gardening. No, 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 no. This passion is so much more intense. It's suffering. It's intense emotion. And if you even look this up in the dictionary, in secular dictionaries, not just Greek or Christian dictionaries, it states the sufferings of Christ from the Last Supper to the crucifixion. That defines passion. And to be honest, I may like tennis, I may like seafood, but when I compare it to what Jesus did, I don't have a passion for either or. But I want to rediscover and I want to reconnect to the passion that Jesus had and that significance. That's what's so important. So before we jump into the text, I want to let you know that this coming Friday, what we term as Good Friday. And I'll be honest, it's hard for me to say it's a Good Friday other than knowing the whole picture. But this coming Friday, we're all going to gather, one church, or typically in four locations. We're going to be in one location. At 5 and at 7, we're going to have a 1 hour, I call it a remembrance. We're going to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. It's going to be 1 hour, 1 hour at 5, 1 hour at 7. But before and after, there's going to be an opportunity for you to come earlier or stay later. And you're going to walk through very sober-minded. It's not just going to be chaotic and run around. Because Good Friday, and we're going to rediscover the seriousness of the sacrifice that was paid for us. And we're going to come face to face with the crown of thorns and the whip and the cross and the coins that was paid for Jesus. And you're going to walk through and you're going to look at each one of these things and you're going to rediscover, you're going to reconnect. And then in the remembrance time in that church service, we're going to communicate about that. And it's not meant to be a great, huge celebration. We'll do that on Sunday. On Sunday, we will have a huge celebration. Because that's like the stone's rolled away and Jesus is alive. Amen? But we're going to remember what the sacrifice is really all about. And what it was made for you and for me and how significant that is. So that's why we want you to come. That's why we want you to participate in this and rediscover together. How many of you are ready to rediscover today? So here we go. This is it. If we want to rediscover the significance of Palm Sunday, there's a couple things here. We're going to rediscover what Passover is, the prophecy. We're going to rediscover the procession that Jesus did when he came into Jerusalem and the passion of Christ. And all these things are very, very significant. So this is what we want to communicate here. So here we go. We're going to launch in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. Chapter 21, verse 1 here. And as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage and the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent two of his followers, says, hey, go ahead of me. Go into that village over there. And as soon as you enter it, you're going to see a donkey tied up with its colt beside it. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. So what's so significant about this moment here? This moment that we're about to uncover is a thing called Passover. This was a big deal. It was one of the big three Jewish holidays here, where all of the males, all the Jewish males would leave where you are, and they all had to go to Jerusalem to worship. Isn't it interesting? When God wants to do something, he gathers everybody together. So he's gathering everybody together, but to be honest, they didn't know why they were getting gathered together. They just thought it was another religious activity. So they're all together here, and Passover is about to begin. So what Passover connects to is in Exodus chapter 12, 1 through 11. And I'm not going to uncover it all for you, but Passover is a feast that remembered God's deliverance and protection. God's deliverance and protection. Now, there's a lot of symbolism here you got to catch here. So all Jewish males had to be present because what they were remembering, there was a lot of years of slavery. And the Jewish people, what Passover, let me oversimplify it. They killed a lamb, a real lamb, and they took the blood of this spotless lamb and they put it on the doorpost of their house. And if they did, death passed over the house. It passed over them. And so, but if you didn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the oldest Jewish male in that house, the boy would be dead. So you had to have the blood so that your kids would live. So this was a really, really big deal because it remembered Jesus and it remembered what God did for them there. So now Jesus is pointing to something so significant here. So let me track this down. So Jesus in John chapter 1 is referred to as the Lamb. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. That's in John chapter 1. So Jesus is referred to as a Lamb. Okay, this is really, really big. This is why we use the terminology all the time. Our party is not a donkey or an elephant. We have the party of a lamb. Okay, that's why we use that all the time. So Jesus is the lamb who's coming into Jerusalem 4 days before Passover. Check this out. So the lamb is coming in right at the time when the Jewish family would be going to get the lamb that they were going to sacrifice to eat on Passover. This was the time they were going to look for a lamb, and here comes the Lamb of God into Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting how God sets things up? See, you couldn't set up this hundreds and hundreds of years thing if you tried. How many of y'all know if you tried, you'd mess it up? But how many of you know God didn't mess up? Yeah, come on, somebody. Yeah, see, so Jesus is the lamb. So at the very time they were going out to get a lamb, here comes Jesus. And this is so significant because Jesus now becomes our deliverance and our protection. This is all pointing to something. See, I believe that the disciples and God's people at the time were looking for a political deliverer. They were looking for lower gas prices. Right? They were looking for inflation to slow down. Am I right? And if we could only have the right political leader, that would happen. That's really what they were thinking. Well, they really weren't thinking about the gas prices, but come on. See, that's how we think. We want a political leader. We want to be relieved of things happening in our country, in our nation, in our world right now, when really God is setting us up because all things are pointing to a new kingdom. It's the kingdom of God where he rules and he reigns. And Passover is pointing to that. Passover is so significant here. But we can miss it. See, I want to let you know something. We can go through religious motions and miss the bigger story. I can. To be honest, I grew up going to church. I always remember Palm Sunday. I remember getting my little palm leaf. I remember the priest had to throw some holy water on it. And then I got my palm leaf. And after I got done hitting my brothers with it and got scolded, then I took it home. See, it was a religious thing. I didn't know all this. I just knew, I got me a palm leaf. And I knew if I destroyed it, my dad was upset. Because you would take the palm leaf and make it into a little cross. And you put one in your car, because that somehow protected your car. We didn't need airbags, we had palm leaves. Come on, somebody, yeah. And then, come on, you always knew a good Catholic's home. Because they would put a little cross behind, like, Jesus on the road to Emmaus or Jesus picture. Am I right? Come on, some of you look confused. I feel bad for you. Come on, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about right now? I see those hands. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Come on, you took it and you put it there because that protected your home. Those palm leaves were powerful. I know what you're thinking. I need me a palm leaf. That's what you're thinking right now. I wish I had some. I'd be selling them right about now. Come on. Jesus would be kicking me out of the temple. So Passover, so we can miss it. So let's go on to the point number two here. Point number two. If we want to rediscover, point number two. First one was Passover. Now we're going to look at a prophecy. We're going to keep going in the same verse. Point number two, prophecy here. Verse 4, this took place to fulfill the prophecy. It took place to fulfill the That said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. So this is a prophecy out of Zechariah chapter 9. What Jesus is doing is he's fulfilling all the stuff in the first two-thirds of the Bible known as the Old Testament. He's fulfilling it because it's all pointing to him, deliverance and protection. And so every little detail that's communicated in the first two-thirds of the book is important. See, many people say that the first two-thirds aren't important anymore. Oh, the first two-thirds are important. They really are. The whole thing's important. The whole thing's big. Now, you may not understand it all, but that's why we have a church to help us figure it out. Are you with me? And so here we go. There's a prophecy that's pointing to the humility in this humble. It's unassuming. It's gentle. It's mild. And it's meek. But why, Pastor, are you getting so fixated on the donkey and the colt? Now, I'll be honest with you. These last 2 weeks, we work as a team to study. And I'm going to tell you, it took me a week to understand, is there a donkey, a colt, a donkey and a colt? Was it a horse? It took me a long time. I'm a simple man. But I'm going to tell you, there was a donkey, and a colt was basically, if you look at the Greek terminology, it was the son of a donkey that has never been ridden. Why would Jesus even associate with a donkey? I mean, if I were Jesus, I'd be getting me a big white stallion. Come on. And I'd be looking bad. Come on, that's what I would do. But Jesus isn't like me. Aren't you happy? Doesn't that make your heart happy? Say, glory. It's okay. See, Jesus chose a different way. He chose a humble way, and he chose a donkey, which was used for kings. Kings in the Old Testament rode a donkey because it was a sign of peace. Contrary to our minds. See, our minds, we have a way God should do things, and then there's God's way. And a colt was for sacred purposes. It hadn't been ridden before. This is very significant. Because it's pointing to our King, Jesus, who comes as a humble servant to bring peace. Yes, right. Now, mark this down. There will be a day. He comes on a horse. In Revelation, it says he gets that white horse. Come on. And there's going to be no mistaking because everybody's going to see it. It's going to be, that's my God. Come on. See, there's going to be a day, but this wasn't that day. This is the humble servant. This is the humble king. This is the humble one who was unassuming and gentle, bringing peace. Why is this important? If we want to uncover the significance of Passion Week, we have to realize Jesus came in humility, in unassuming. And he came mild and he came meek. And this is, there's so much more happening here. And there's all these proofs that increase my faith. Don't decrease it. So first we had Passover. All things pointing to deliverance, protection. And then we have the prophecy. Jesus came to fulfill all the things. It was all pointing to him. It was pointing to this day that's so significant. And I believe that in our Christian faith, what we call Easter, Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday, Passion Week, is one of the most powerful weeks of the year for us. Oh, it's a powerful week. It's a powerful time. So now we looked at those two things. Now I want to look at the procession. The procession of Jesus coming actually in. Okay? This is significant. There's three things here. There's coats, palm branches, and then there's a proclamation. There's three things. Now, I know I'm dealing with all these words that begin with the letter P. I could not find one for coat. Okay, I tried. You know, put on your outer garment. I had all this other stuff. I just didn't work, okay? Poncho. Poncho. We'll look up the Greek word for poncho. I don't know what that is, but we're going to find it, okay? Thank you very much, you know? If you want to write down poncho, you have at it. Come on. But there's three significant things here that we're going to uncover with the procession. And this is all really, really huge here. Okay, so let's go to here. Verse 6. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. How many of you know when you do things Jesus command, good things happen? Okay. And they brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. So here it is. They got the colt, and Jesus, we did as you said. And then they took their outer garment, and they put it on the colt, okay? And then later on, as he began to go in, they literally took off their outer garment and they laid it. Now, this would have been common. Actually, 2 Kings gives you an example of this, to pay homage, to honor a king. This would have been very common in the Old Testament. See, this wasn't something new. It wasn't like they were standing in the crowd going, what do we do now? I don't know. Does anybody have a coat? I mean, it wasn't like that. There were some significant things happening here that were lining up. And I am very convinced there were people in the crowd that saw it, but they didn't see it. And so here they took off their coats. What I believe personally now. See, in the text, the context of the Bible times, your outer garment was representative of your social status. It would have been like when blind, that what we refer to as blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. He would have had a coat on that when you walked close to him, you would have said, that's a blind beggar. Because you would have known what type of coat he had. If somebody had an upper class status, they would have had a nice coat. Lower class would have been lower, middle. So like it would have been representative. What I believe is if we want to make a way for Jesus' glory to be known, we have to be willing to take our social status off and our identity off and lay it down for the king. See, we got to be willing to lay down what we think we have, and I'm going to lay it down for Jesus. Because, listen, my greatest status on my greatest day is only worth Jesus' colt to walk on. You know, you hear some people say they wear their heart on their sleeve. Sometimes we have emotions, we have hurts. And there's been times in my life that I've identified more with being hurt and in pain than being victorious. And you know what God has asked me to do, just like Bartimaeus had to do? Take off my coat. Take off my identity and lay it down for his glory. Amen. I've had times in my life where I've had things in my life, my false identity, maybe it's pride or security or hurt or pain. I don't know what yours is, but Jesus is asking you to take it off, lay it down, all for the glory of God, and let him walk on it just a little bit. Are you willing to do that? See, if we want Jesus to receive glory, we have to be willing to lay down all those things. Lay down our self-sufficiency. I can be self-sufficient at times. And I got to choose to take that off. All for his glory. So they're laying down their coats here. And all for to pay homage to the king. That's the coats part. Or ponchos, as some of you like to say. Let's look at this next part. The palm branches. The palm branches. Wow. Palms are a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of victory. So, so important here. They would be laid down or lifted up in adoration. It was very victorious. It was grandeur. It was splendid. Where do you see this? Well, you see it actually in a different feast of the Jews in the Old Testament, in a different one. But you also, if you look in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, before the throne, they'll be waving palm branches. It's a sign of victory. Do you see? Are you beginning to see that from Genesis to Revelation, the beginning to the end of the Bible, the whole story begins to make sense? See, and if we want to rediscover these things, we have to look at how it makes sense and how it's pointing to something and how significant it really is. And so these are the palm branches, and it's all praising God. It's lifting up to him here, how significant it was. Also, actually where you see this, it's not part of the Bible, but it's in Maccabees. And some of you may have heard that term before. The historical books, I'm just gonna leave it at that. Actually, the Maccabees used palm branches when they removed the people from Jerusalem that were defiling the temple. It has to do with cleansing. So palm leaves and palm branches being laid down and lifted up, adoration for the king. Are you willing to look foolish for Jesus? Amen. Listen, I didn't know any better. I was a kid, I just had my little palm branch. But you know what? I always remember, my dad was a big, strong man, but he had his palm too. Because he wasn't too proud or too arrogant or too strong to wave a palm. I remember that. See, that meant something to me. He wasn't too arrogant. He wasn't too proud not to realize that. And to be honest, he knew what was going on. I didn't. But we have to be willing to give him homage and honor and praise and do these things here. This is so important here. This is so vital. So here in the procession, we have our coats, and then we have the palms, and now we have a proclamation. In verse 9, Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting. I mean, they were shouting. This is a huge deal. They were shouting, praise God, Hosanna. That's really what they were saying. Hosanna, God deliver, God save. Praise God for the Son of David, the lineage of the king. This is a big deal. They're saying he is the king. David, way back in the, he's the same lineage. This is a king coming. Praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. This is a big deal. See, at this time, when people would have been coming into Jerusalem, they would have been, all the people in Jerusalem, they would have come out of the city, and they would have been welcoming people in. They would have been welcoming people. If you ever gone to somewhere like Disney World or somewhere like that, and I'm not suggesting you go there, I'm just using it as an example. They have people outside welcoming you, trying to make you feel special. And they have a goal. They want you to spend more money. So, but they were welcoming people. But when important people came into Jerusalem, they would have all come out, and they would have actually been quoting more Psalms. I'm going to get to the Psalms in a little bit. But they would have been quoting things, and they would have been chanting, and they would be singing. So if a real important person came, they'd be like, oh, yeah, Hosanna. But to Jesus, they were quoting a psalm here. They were looking significantly at him here, the Son of David. It was a psalm. It was pointing to something here. It was Psalm 118, 25 through 26. Save now. God save us. That's what they were quoting. They were quoting the Old Testament. And a proclamation made 6 times in the New Testament. They were publicly acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah. So I want to ask you something. Yeah, you have to be willing to lay down who you are and your identity. And yes, we need to be willing to put the blood of Jesus, the one true spotless lamb, figuratively over our hearts for protection and deliverance. But have you publicly acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah? They were publicly saying something here. Now, it sounds like a cry for help, but I believe personally it was a proclamation. This is the one. Have you publicly made a proclamation? Have you publicly declared your allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Public declarations are important. They're vitally important. And this procession had the coats and the garments and being laid down, and they had palm leaves being laid down. And they also had this proclamation happening, because they would have been singing the Psalms 113 to 118. 113 to 118. That this would have been typical Psalms that they would have been singing at this point, because this was a huge deal. They were remembering something. And you know what we need to do, church? I believe God wants us to go back and remember the significance of Jesus this week. I believe he does. And I believe if nothing else happens, I believe if you do not get new outfits for the kids, it doesn't matter. But if we don't remember who Jesus really is, that matters. Listen, put on the same one they wore last year. Nobody will remember. You say, well, it's too small. Just tell them it's in style. Somewhere it probably is. So it's a proclamation. It's a declaration. It's all these things wrapped into one. And I guess like the real question is here, church, do we recognize him for who he really is? Or is all these things happening around us? We don't even know it. I believe there were people that were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to him, and didn't know what was going on. Because some of them were the same people that were yelling, crucify him, just days later. Let's not be those people. You say, I could never do that. Oh, never say never. Amen. Oh, no, 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 no. We could easily do that. But when Jesus came in, something significant happened. Verses 10 and 11, let's wrap up this text. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. They said, who is this? And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet. It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. I mean, this was a huge. Have you ever been outside Heinz Field when the Steelers scored? I have. I've actually been walking to games that maybe sometimes a little late, or you know, and I hear that, and instantly I think to myself, I missed it. And immediately, see, thank God, in today's day and age, I pull out my phone and I want to find out what I missed. Right? Or you run to AT&T Sportsnet and you start watching the television. Hopefully it'll be on. Right? This is that big, wow. What's going on? I just spent time in L.A. And when you're in Los Angeles, there's always a crowd getting around somebody. And so I'm walking, there's a crowd. And so I like crowds. And so I'm immediately running to every crowd. You know, I mean, if they're kids, you get them out of the way. You know? My problem is every time I got to the front of the crowd and I'd see who they were looking at, I didn't know who it was. So I'd look around, I'd find a younger person than me, which isn't hard to find. And I would say, who is this? And they would say, so-and-so. And I'd be like, oh. Anyway. But when Jesus came, I believe there were some people looking at him that were like, oh, it's Jesus. Oh, praise God, Hosanna. And some people just get caught up in it, but they don't realize. And if we want to realize, we need the blood of the Lamb, and we need to lay down our identity, and we need to adore him, and we need to declare who he is publicly. Are you with me this morning? Amen. See, this is what Palm Sunday's about. And this is what we're going to rediscover here. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was one of the apostles and Jesus was going on his little cult deal and he was doing it and everybody starts shouting, I'd be like, that's my Jesus. Come on. I'm with him. Come on. This is the time you want to be with Jesus. Right? And if you got a little bit behind because you're waving to people, come on, you'd be doing the same thing, right? Because why wouldn't you want to be with him now? He's like, Hosanna, Hosanna, the Son of God. Yeah, that's my God. And some of the same people that were walking with him here denied him a few days later because they missed the significance of what's happening. Church, let's not miss it. There's a confusion about who Jesus is. He came to radically change my life. And so you got the Passover, and you got the prophecy, and you got the procession, but it all leads to this last thing. Catch me, follow me here. It's the Passion of Christ. Right when he got to Jerusalem, found in a different one of the Gospels, not Matthew, but Luke. And as he came closer to Jerusalem, and he saw the city, he began to, what did he do? What did he do? Began to weep. And he says, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. Take this in, take this in, take this in. Come on, clear your mind of everything else and just take this in. Jesus is saying, how I wish you'd know the way to peace. The king who comes on a donkey, the colt, peace. Did you catch it? You say, how I wish you'd know that. But you're going to be destroyed. And years later, it was destroyed. Oh, man. Peace is hidden from your eyes. And you know what I believe God wants to do once again as we rediscover? He wants us to rediscover peace. We live in a crazy world. We're all thinking about future and plans and what's going to happen. And listen, I don't know about you, but I could use a little bit of the King of Peace. That's what I'm going to rediscover this week, and that's what I want you to as well. Are you willing to be with me as we weep for Murraysville, Plum, Monroeville, Delmont, Export, Greensburg, Trafford? How about for the 54 plus thousand people in our area right here that don't know Jesus Christ? See, I think a lot of us, we like Jesus, the meet my needs Jesus. Jesus, meet my expectation Jesus. Jesus came for a much bigger picture than that. And if we're not careful, we'll turn his church into a very self-sufficient, self-serving place. Rather than that we have a proclamation to make, not arrogantly, but humbly, that the blood of Jesus Christ brings peace, brings hope, brings life. Church, let's not miss it. Let's not miss it. Let's rediscover it. Let's rediscover the significance of what's happening here. Do we really know? Are we really aware? This week, this is what I want you to do. There's going to be some Bible verses here. I'm going to ask you to take a picture of them. It's a daily reading plan right here. It's a daily plan. And I'll be up there for a few minutes there. And every day, I just want you to read these verses. Maybe even do it as a family, dinner time. Sit down, say, we're gonna read these. Well, I'm sitting by myself at dinner. Well, it shouldn't be hard to get everybody's attention. My kids won't sit still. Read to them anyhow. Read to them anyhow. They won't know what it's about. Read to them anyhow. Establish every day during Passion Week, this is what we do. And I want every day to just read that and rediscover the significance of Passion Week and allow His passion to be ours. That's the big dew point here. And the second thing I want you to do is this. I want you to invite as many people as you can. I want you to invite as many people as possible. I mean, I want the people at work to say, by Thursday, I'll come already. In love, just invite people. They can either come to the Good Friday, the Sacrifice of Remembrance at North Braddock, and people say, like, look, bring your kids. And if we don't have kids ministry, they can sit with you. It'll be one of the most significant things they do. If they cry or whimper, it'll be all right. They cried and whimpered when Jesus talked. They can cry and whimper when we talk. But invite people to come to the Good Friday. And then, Easter Sunday, right here, right on cue. Next week, we're going to be having two times. We're having two times we meet, 8:30 and 10. We're going to make as much room as possible. for you to invite as many people as you know. Let's not make Easter and Resurrection Sunday about what we want. Let's allow Jesus' weeping to affect our hearts once again. And there are people in our lives that we're about to give up on. And I'm asking you, don't give up on them. Go back one more time. There's people, I'm so glad people didn't give up on me. So glad God didn't give up on me. Aren't you glad? And I want you to invite as many people as possible. And then last but not least, I want you to invite, and this is to the kids deal. And Pastor Eric's going to come up in a few minutes. He's going to tell you all about the kids deal. I've been praying that we're going to be totally overwhelmed with kids. I'm praying there's a line outside. I'm praying there's so many people that we're going to run out of food and we have to pray over it and watch it multiply. I was praying that this morning. I want to be overwhelmed once again. How about you? And on your seats, there's all these invites. I want you to invite as many young people as you know. Maybe there's kids in the neighborhood or kids you know. Go invite them. Get as many people as possible to rediscover. Can you do those couple things for me this week? I invited somebody. I've been having a couple people I've been praying for because our group's praying. Yesterday, amazing, I've been praying for this guy, and he came up to me and asked me about Easter Sunday. And I went, this prayer thing works. He did. He asked me. I go, I was going to invite you. He goes, well, I want to come. I go, awesome. See, it works when you pray. Now, I have somebody else. He's a fish that's trying to jump off the hook. Not mine, for Jesus. I'm still working. I'm still believing. I'm still praying because heaven and hell lie in the balance. Not my church, not your church, but Jesus' name. Are you with me? Would you just stand up to your feet with me for a second? I want you to pray. I want you to invite. I want you to get reacquainted and rediscover. Come on. How many of you are saying, okay, I'm going to rediscover this week? How many of you are willing to rediscover, read the Bible? How many of you are willing to read those scriptures? Come on. How many of you are willing to invite somebody? Just, it's not us to make people to respond. It's just up to me to cast a net and get reacquainted with Jesus again. God, I just... Oh God, we really need your help, Lord, because we really need to feel your passion once again. We need to feel who you are once again, God. And God, I pray, Father, that by your grace, even next week at 8:30 and at 10, Lord, there would be an overwhelming presence of Jesus and the resurrection power and the joy. But also on Good Friday, as we all gather together, Lord, and we remember this sacrifice and we just dedicate this whole weekend to you, Lord. Come on, can you say amen to that? Just say amen. God, we dedicate this whole thing to you, God, because something so much bigger than us is at stake, God. Take us back. Let us rediscover, Father. So right now in this moment, I don't know where you are, but I want to read to you one more verse here. And it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's openly declaring your faith that you are saved. And this thing with Jesus was never meant to be private, it was meant to be personal. But it's really clear, Liz, they openly declared their allegiance to God. And I'm here today to ask you, if you don't have a day, a moment, or a time that you have openly declared Jesus as the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, I want to invite you not to a religion, but to a relationship with Jesus Christ. The best thing I could ever offer you here. And if that's you today, don't wait, don't hesitate. Let today be the day that you openly declare, Jesus, forgiver of my past, leader to my future, and I want to figure it out what it means to be a Christ follower. If that's you in this moment, or you maybe have been away from God and it's time for you to come back home and mark Palm Sunday as your day, I want to give you a chance, if you never have, or if you want to be welcomed back home, just to simply openly declare your allegiance. Is there anybody here today that would just like to openly declare and say, I want today to be my day? Just slip up your hand right where you are. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Anybody at all here today, I just want this to be your moment with God that you openly declare. Anybody at all, hearts pounding, palms sweaty, God, what do I do now? Help me, Lord. God, anybody here? Anybody here? Thank you, Jesus. Going once, twice. Okay, God, I thank you for this great group of people. I thank you for what you have done and what you are doing. And God, we ask you, God, that next week that we would be overwhelmed with people beginning a relationship with God the Father through Jesus. And God, I commission these people to do that, Father, to be those people that will be your hands and feet and be your inviting mouthpiece. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, thanks for being so great. Could you just be seated for a few minutes? Pastor Eric's going to come up and close us up. And hey, thanks for being so great. In Jesus' name.